From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. There's been another newspaper casualty, the 146-year-old Seattle Post-Intelligencer. The last edition is expected to hit newsstands next week. But the PI, as it's known, isn't going away entirely. Hearst Corporation, which owns the paper, is about to launch an online-only edition. Still, as NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports, that's of little comfort to the writers and the editors at Seattle's oldest daily.
For the past 2 months, newsroom employees at the PI have been grieving and reminiscing. They've known for years that their paper was in serious financial trouble, but it wasn't until January that Hearst said it was putting the paper up for sale. And if the city's second largest daily couldn't be sold in 60 days, it would be shut down. There were no buyers.
It's been a great place to work. I think we cherish each other.
Joel Connolly is a veteran columnist and political writer. A couple of days ago, he turned in what was probably his last piece for the newspaper.
Started as a summer replacement in July of 1973.
What was the very first story you ever wrote? Do you remember?
I think it was something having to do with the seafarer clowns arriving on the waterfront. But within about 3 weeks of coming here, I got a tip.
The tip related to a land swap in which a portion of state parkland would be clear-cut for timber.
And we were able to stop that sale within 48 hours. So with that story, I discovered that you can do a lot of good with a newspaper.
The Post-Intelligencer is much smaller than its rival, the Seattle Times. But the Pulitzer Prize-winning PI has featured some wonderful writing, feistiness, and tenacity. Connolly leads me to the western corner of the newsroom, to a vast window with a spectacular view across the Puget Sound. We can see two wilderness areas that were strongly backed by the paper, and just to the north, the port's grain terminal. Connolly says cronyism at the port, problems in a nuclear construction program, and improper conduct by a prosecutor and a judge are just a few of the PI's investigative undertakings.
Done an awful lot here. We've done an awful lot for the city that we've served. And this has been a newspaper that's been on the side of the angels.
But the advertising-based financial model that fueled newspapers for decades no longer works. Advertisers and consumers have migrated to the Internet, depriving newspapers of vital revenue. Next week, Hearst is expected to reveal the successor to what Connolly affectionately calls the fish wrapper. The new PI, though it may not be called that, will exist only online. Connolly is one of about two dozen PI staffers who've been asked to work for the online edition. The vast majority of the newspaper's employees will be out of a job. Marcia Milroy came to the PI in 1972.
I remember there being, I believe, one woman in the newsroom when I started, and we had a dress standard.
No pants, only pants suits, she says. The top and bottom had to match. She chuckles a bit, but it doesn't mask her sadness at losing the job she has loved.
I feel homeless. Emotionally, I'm under a bridge with a shopping cart. I grew up here.
Seattle is a highly wired and literate city, and Hearst is planning to use the city as a test case. Can it make money with an online-only edition? It will probably contain a lot of aggregated content, blogs, video links, lifestyle reporting, columnists, and sports, but don't expect investigative pieces. Back in the PI newsroom, managing editor David McCumber says what he'll remember most from his decade as editor is the joy of walking through the newsroom and watching journalists do a job they loved.
I'm grateful to the staff more than anyone, and I'm grateful to our readers for making it possible and for caring. It's been a hell of a good run.
Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.
And our member station, KUOW in Seattle, has been chronicling the demise of the PI. You can find a link to their stories at npr.org.